I had two subjects readied for this letter. This time round you get a dog's life in Prague, or maybe more accurately, a dog and dog owner's life in the Czech capital. Speaking from the latter perspective, I do not think Prague is a bad place to be. There is, however, the high charge for taking your four-legged friend on public transport if he or she is too large to fit into a bag. Those in bags travel free. Once I hit upon the idea for trying to get round this charge. The dog could be put in a pram with its head covered partly by a bonnet and a big bib sticking out of its mouth, a bit like the wolf in Little Red Riding Hood, if you like. This idea, before I get into trouble with either the loss-making Prague City Transport Company, animal rights enthusiasts, or the Prams for Legitimate Mothers movement, was never put into effect. There again, once I was fined for not having a valid ticket for the tram, but the dog was overlooked when the penalty was totted up. He was also allowed once to ride on an historic tram, although the official small print probably banned this. This was only fitting since he was a tram-loving dog. He liked sniffing the ample supply of constantly circulating and changing passengers, and standing at the door following the less fortunate two- and four-legged pedestrians. Dogs can also help make room on public transport. I do not mean that Vagabond, that was the name of the mid-sized mongrel, bared his teeth at the tram-travelling populace. He was a cowardly beast, with the inverse more likely to happen. No, I remember one summer donning dark glasses and getting on the tram with the dog. The front seats designated for the blind immediately cleared. I protested that I was not blind, but it made not, can I say, a blind bit of difference. A seat was a seat, and I concluded, should be sat in, even if obtained by underhand means. There is also the handily cited Prague parks and free poop bags supplied by the thoughtful local councils. The use of these bags can make you famous in faraway lands. I joke not. Once a group of Japanese tourists could think of nothing better than taking a picture of me cleaning up after the dog at a park near Vyšehrad. After reading how a US family's photos came to be used by a Czech company for its ad without their consent or knowledge, I have now a nightmare about what products myself and the late dog could now be selling in the land of the rising sun. Most of the restaurants and humble pubs are also dog-friendly. There is one that used to ask whether the dog would be having a meal as well as the two human guests. His order was, however, included in the bill. There was, however, an unfortunate episode at one smart Prague restaurant, the former Café Colonial, on the borders of the Jewish quarter. There the dog received some discreet under-the-table extras that did not agree with him. He was loud and demonstrably sick in the middle of the restaurant during a busy lunch hour. The staff, if not overjoyed, were not seemingly put out. Even dogs cannot eat what the chef cooks these days, one waiter commented. There is, of course, a downside. I have not visited most of the Czech Republic's fine castles and stately homes because they are not dog-friendly. This seems to me a bit ironic because most of them are stuffed full of animals, most of the dead, stuffed and horned variety that was shot by trigger-happy Czech aristocracy. Churches and cemeteries have also been out of bounds. But this, I believe, was a small price to pay.
Chris Johnstone with that letter from Prague.